good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you are, welcome to Two Men with a Mic.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy. It's rootin', tootin', shootin' kind of day.
Ah, right. Right, I'm cowboy.
Call me Yosemite.
Yosemite Mitch. You sound like you're outside.
No, I wish. It's too cold and rainy and wet out there, but it is beautiful. It's like super green.
Ah.
You know, not even green, but super green.
Super green.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's the same down here. My son was here yesterday and we were rained in and he did get bored. But I just took him on a scenic drive, which is really easy to do now. The hills that are like closest to where we are, are like the hills of Ireland.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's so close. In fact, I'm amazed that we grew up here and didn't know that this whole area was there, but just like 5-10 minutes away, you're suddenly in like green farmland, green hills. There's like a lake out there. So even though we were rained in, I put him in the car and just drove on a scenic drive, which is just driving past green rolling hills everywhere.
Key is it's got to be green.
Mm-hmm. But it is. This is the most rain that I ever remember getting in SoCal. It turned everything green.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. It's raining all over California. I'm sure there's floods.
Yeah, like we were kind of headed towards the mountains and then traffic was stopped and people were like doing U-turns to get out of the line of traffic. So I don't know what happened, but yeah, there was probably an accident ahead on the scenic route.
Yep, everyone.
I just drove really carefully.
Yeah.
But I was hydroplaning and stuff.
Hey there, Amber here. Are you in dire need of trying to reach Mitch and Mike? Or maybe just want to be a part of the show? Well, it's easy. You could log on to twomenwithamic.com. That's the number 2. And go to the About section, where you'll find all the ways to contact Mitch and Mike. You can email them at the number 2menwithamic@gmail.com. At the bottom of any episode on Spotify, you can hit the leave a message link or write a comment. Oh my.
We went to a very beautiful, there's an organization called the Self-Realization Fellowship, founded by a yogi named Paramahansa Yogananda. And there are temples and meditation gardens like all around the world. India, the United States, Europe, like I think they're everywhere. I think they're in Japan, but it's just a beautiful place to go, right? Like it's like gardens and a lake and a waterfall and it's really beautiful and sacred and people just go there for peace and quiet and to meditate. But so, yeah, my ex-wife was with me, but we're always, you know, cause my son is like a little wild man. And so he tears stuff up and rips out plants and flowers and leaves and, you know, he's definitely mischievous. But yeah, we got there and I'm like, okay, now John, you know, don't pick those flowers and like, don't pull that leaf off that tree. And, and like, just be cool, just look, you know, and enjoy the peace and feel the good energy. And then I turned around and his shoes were in the water. And I was like, what?
He's all like, okay, Dad, I'm not going to touch the trees, but here, watch this.
Yeah, exactly. And then later, I always make little home movies of these things. I just follow him around with my smartphone, you know, videotaping him, and then I'll edit it in Final Cut Pro. And I've been like documenting everything in his whole life. I think I've made over 500 of them now. And like the first one is my ex-wife is just pregnant with him. And then like the second one is like ultrasound. And then like the third one is like birth. And I even got a shot of me cutting the umbilical cord.
Always making the movie. Wait,
I know. See, I'm a little, well, I don't know. I guess it's still my thing. You know, we've heard so much about how bad Hollywood is, but there is making movies outside of Hollywood, you know, like, so, yeah, so it's still a passion of mine, but yeah, yesterday it was, he threw his shoes in the lake at this beautiful, meditation garden. And then later, which I captured in the video, like we got, so they were very nice about it there. And a man got like a net and was
probably didn't want some kid's shoes floating in there.
No.
In their pristine water.
Yeah, no, we had to get it out of there. And so he did. And then like, we were like, oh, thank you. And we had his shoes back, and I was like thanking the guy, and while I was doing that, basically, or just a couple seconds after that, Gavin picked up my shoes and tried to throw them in the lake. And that's on video. I mean, we had just gotten his other shoes back, and then you see him like, and he reaches for, I don't know why I didn't have my flip-flops on. But I just had flip-flops, and he grabbed them and tried to throw them in the lake as well.
He's like, well, okay, they don't want my shoes in there. Maybe they want Dad's.
Yeah. I mean, I was cracking up. But at the same time, I don't know. They're, I don't want to say it, it's just you're really supposed to be respectful
right
when you're there. And I'm really trying, but I have a little boy, and that's what little boys do, you know. You know what it reminded me of is like one of my favorite, of course it reminded me of a film, right? But like my son's antics, like one of my favorite moments, like in a James Cameron film. I'm not a giant, well, that's a whole other topic. Anyway, in the first Terminator movie, there was a very funny human moment where what's her name? Linda Hamilton is like the lead actress. She's Sarah Connor. But at the beginning of the movie, she's working as a waitress. And there's this great shot where it's just showing that like her, you know, she's besieged at work, like it's busy, her job is hard, she's serving all these tables, it's messy, it's crowded, you know, like, oh, it's hard to be a waitress is what it's trying to show. But there's like, I don't know if you remember, but one of the things that happens to her as a waitress is she's like leaning over with these hot plates in her arms, and she's like, oh, you know, plates are hot, so who had the whatever, the pastrami sandwich? And they're like, oh, we didn't order pastrami. And so meanwhile, she's holding these heavy plates. They're hot. They're saying the order is wrong. And right in the middle of that tension, there's like a little boy sitting at the table. And he takes a big scoop from his ice cream and on a spoon, and then takes the spoon over and like dumps the scoop of ice cream into the pocket of her apron.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
She's like, thanks a lot, kid. You know, I always loved that, though. I thought that was really funny and warm and human. And yeah, that's my son now. That's totally my son now. I love him. It's wonderful. But yeah, it's a little tricky. And people do get mad. Like, you know, we have botanic gardens close to us, and the same thing happens there. They're a little more mellow about it at the Self-Realization Fellowship. But like, you know, in the botanic gardens too, invariably, we get some busybody or some person who's just visiting, and they're like, you know, oh, don't let him rip out the Cycalia cephalosis plant. Because it's like, because it's the, you know, it is the botanic gardens. They do endeavor to grow specific plants and take good care of them. And then my son comes in after dropping ice cream into Lyndall Hamilton's apron, and he's like, let me at it, you know.
Yeah, he's all, oh,
stomping on flowers, like,
yeah.
But it's weird. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to instantly be negative. I'm trying to be upbeat today, but yeah, people are messed up these days, that because of all the stresses and strains of the world and stuff. And I don't think they're as kid friendly as they used to be, you know.
Yeah. Like, I think you got to take them to the kid friendly places. I think that you got to look at. What I learned was, like, you got to find the pizza parlor that doesn't care. And then you go to that one, and you can let your kids climb all over the machines because no one cares.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
My kids were like that when they were little. Mm. My kids would be the ones in the basketball machine instead of putting the quarters in. They'd climb over and play the game. And they'd be like, sir, can you get your son out of the video game? It's like, he's out of quarters. He's not done. Come on, man. Let him finish.
Well, that's what I'm getting too, taking my son around. But I've been surprised by it. Like, hey, he's a little boy. I mean, what do you expect? That's what little kids do.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, looking back on it, you know, I could have been I could have had a little tighter leash on the kids, but they didn't really damage anything too bad.
I remember, yeah, I mean, like, I remember being with my brother and his young kids at restaurants and stuff, and it was the same thing with them. You know, they were standing up in the booth and going under the table and, you know, like, all this stuff. But I just don't remember, like, anyone ever being mad about that, because everyone just understood, like,
I'd always end up, like, outside with them.
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but guess what today is? Tuesday Rants with, you guessed it, Amber. Welcome back to the studio, everyone. Hey everyone, hope you're doing well. Welcome back to another week of Two Men with a Mic. And I am your host, Amber. And I am so happy that you are here today listening to my rant. Because I know that's why you listen to the podcast, huh? Because you guys just really want to hear my rants. Well, unfortunately, I'm not taking over the show this week, but I will always have my rant here for you guys. And as you know, I am now officially done with finals, and I am now on spring break, which is really nice. I am so glad to be done with finals because I'm not a fan of tests at all. But yeah, so I made it through. I still, of course, don't know all of my scores yet because nobody grades anything. And it's like, you want to know what's really irritating is that they expect us to be prepared to come knowing all of our information by a specific day. And you know, ace their test. But then it's, you know, uncalled for when we expect to get our grades back in a timely manner and to know how we did on these exams. No, they take like a year to do so. And it's just crazy to me. I only got my genetics final grade back, and I actually cannot believe this. I got a 92% on the final, which was, that's so crazy. That's really good. I'm very happy with it. And the average in the class was actually a 70%. So I don't know how I did so much significantly higher, but it happened. So I'm very glad with that. I'm still waiting to hear back how I did on my paper, how I did on physics, and how I also did on econ. I'm sure they all went okay, and, you know, I'll be fine. But we will have to wait and see, you know? But yeah, so they are just taking their time, grading everything. And it's just insane to me, you know? Like, why aren't they faster? They literally have like 80 million TAs and somehow they can't seem to grade like 200 exams. Not to mention, like, half of the exams I took were Scantron. All they have to do is put it through a machine. It's not like they even have to do anything. So, I don't know. Beats me. But we are officially on spring break, and I am so happy to have this week to rest and relax. But it's just crazy to me that we only get 1 week. I mean, we've been going nonstop for the last 10 weeks, hardcore, taking these classes, and then they just give us one break of rest, and then we're at it again for another 10 weeks. It's just crazy. But Easter is coming up, and I'm super excited for that. That's also why I wish I had like a little bit more time off, because literally the day after Easter, I'm back at school. So I'm going to be driving like Easter night back to Davis. So that's the plan. But, yeah, I also, like I said before in another rant, not a huge fan that we've had two holidays in 1 month this year. And April is just going to be like so lonely with no holidays. Yes, I know a lot of people with birthdays in April, but it's not like any like holiday you would get off type of thing. So yeah, that's a little bit interesting. But I am spending most of my spring break working a few days at the vet clinic in our town. And then I'm going to just be resting the rest of the time, hanging out with Sugar, of course, probably going to the park with her and just chillaxing. So those are my spring break plans. Very calm and just taking a break, which is nice. And then we'll be back to it in a week. You know, back at Davis, finishing off the last 10 weeks of junior year, which is crazy. And then I'll officially be a senior. So, yeah, that's my update for you guys. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
The same thing happens to me, that I just have to take him outside.
Yeah.
You know, like we go, like we just, my sister invited us to a service, a religious service, and we went, and I was like, I wanted him to see it. And, but I knew it was like, I want to expose him to all different forms of spirituality and stuff. And then whatever path he feels is right for him, you know, I hope he'll follow some kind of spiritual path in life, because I do believe we're just 100% in a spiritual situation.
Your sister took you to a spiritual thing.
Oh yeah. Thank you. No, yeah, problem. And I just thought, well, I want to take him so that he can see, just to enrich his life, educate him, you know, and show him what's out there. But I was like, but he's not going to put up with that, you know, listening to somebody praying and all that.
Yeah.
All kids are bored at church. Right. And, but luckily I guess most churches, in this place too, they had like a playground, but yeah. So I knew that's what was going to happen. That was like, oh, look at the beautifully decorated place. And now, you know, hear the prayers and stuff. Oh, we're going outside.
Nice and, seeing you.
Yeah, he loved, actually it was really kind of bad, but he loved it outside. They had a playground that he was really enjoying. But, you know, he'll let you know what he wants to do. And, you know, after a little while, he'll just take me by the hand and lead me to the car if he wants to leave. So we got there. He was playing on the playground. He was able to see all the decorations.
Was and, that the one with the bounce house?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I sent the video to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but what happened was, like, so he, you know, he saw it before really the service began, but right when the service started, my son grabbed me by the hand and was like, okay, let's go, Dad.
He's all like, this man's talking. I don't want to hear it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. And I was, and then of course, I mean, there's, if he goes into that mode, there's kind of no choice. And so I was like, oh my God. And he was insisting that we go. And so I was like, okay, we'll just quietly go to the car in the parking lot and just quietly, you know, get out of here. And, but the, my car was actually parked, I don't know, like maybe 100 feet from, the guy doing the prayers and stuff. And, so when I started my car, it was really loud. And like, so, you know, the guy's like, pray, 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 pray. And everybody's listening. And then all of a sudden it's like, and I didn't, my car is loud. And I didn't think it would be like that, but it was. And like several of the people who were listening to the prayers, when my car started up, they looked at me like, you asshole. We are, this is a sacred religious service. And you, and then you just walk out and start up your murder car. Because I kind of, I have like a murder car, or what are they? That's what they used to call them, like a muscle car.
Muscle but car. But yeah.
my sister would call a muscle car a murder car. So like, when your kids would be driving around, she's like, oh, look at that murder car.
Well, like, I guess anyways, if you watch, was it Carpenter, which who had the movie about the vehicles coming alive?
Oh, John Carpenter's
yeah.
Christine, based on a novel by Stephen King. Yeah, that's what, you know, when I was still on a dating site, like I put up a picture of my car because our friend Tony Blatchford, when he was describing his late wife, God rest her soul. I was asking about like, oh, how'd you meet and all of that. And he was like, he had a Camaro, I think. And he was like, oh, she loved my Camaro. She loved my Camaro. That's how we ended up married. So I thought, really? Okay. So I have a Mustang and I on the dating website, like you're supposed to put up pictures of yourself. So I put up a tacky picture of me standing by my Mustang. Cause I thought, well, chicks dig the car. So maybe this will work out, but yeah, I start my car up. Everyone at the religious service is pissed. Gavin's happy though. Cause he's like, let's get out of here.
Let's ride, Dad.
let's ride, Dad. And someone was parked behind me, actually several people, and the
so
service
you were trapped.
Was valid, and the, yeah, there was no way to like ask them to come to the parking lot and move their car. So, but meanwhile, my son is like, wah! You know, like he wants out of there, and he's kind of throwing a fit. And what basically ended up happening was that like a parking lot attendant helped like me back out of there very carefully, which was so crazy. I was like, it was like, you know, like an inch away from other cars. And then like, okay, turn this way, turn this way, turn that way, turn that way. And we got out of there. But that kind of ended unceremoniously. And I did feel bad. I didn't realize how disruptive that would be. But, you know, what's more important, like get out of there and go to a playground or sit there and have a spiritual experience, right?
Well, they learned patience.
I guess I did have one of those feelings that I get actually frequently at the different churches and temples and meditation gardens that I go to. And that is so I turn my car on and it interrupts the service and some people are pissed. And for like about 5 minutes, they're being dicks. And I'm trying to be cool about like, okay, you know, sorry, I'm just trying to get my young son out of here. But I'm sitting there too, like, okay, so you're having your big spiritual day, right? You got your ass up out of bed, took a shower, put on your best clothes, and came here to be with God and to be spiritual. And then someone starts a car. And while you're in the middle of your great communication with God and you're going to stop everything and kill me, like, I was like, you, once again, you have missed the point, and you have missed the point in front of God. Like you traveled all the way to this temple only to be a dick. And God saw that, you know, in my mind, it's like, if you're going to be a dick, then don't go to a temple, you know, go to a pool hall
hey, yeah, I watched that.
That's not in there.
That movie.
And then you can get away with being a dick. Right? Yeah. I've seen that a lot. Like we've talked about like you and Christianity and the Christians and stuff, how like you go to a church and maybe they're quiet during the sermon, but like in the parking lot, they try to drive over the top of you.
Yeah, it's a big issue. It honestly, it I mean, it's I've heard it talked about in multiple churches I've attended, and it always comes out at some point about, you know, you can't just be religious in the church. You know, you can't just come to church and act good while you're there, and then everywhere else, you know, act bad. And it is a problem, you know, and I will say that that's one of the things that gives Christianity and Christians a bad name, is that they'll claim to be all religious and perfect and do this and do that, right? But then, you know, their true nature or attitude comes out, you know, in certain situations, and then everybody says you're phony.
Yeah.
Because you claim one thing and you run around and you preach it and you try and correct everybody and say, you know, oh, you should be this and you should do that. And then, you know, in the dark, when you think no one's watching, you're doing all the things you say you shouldn't do.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, like then the whole parking lot thing is something that comes up all the time.
Yeah.
Manner. So I figured the solution to that is I'll just be an asshole to everyone all the time.
I've been becoming more and more like that over these years.
Yeah.
Because of all these bad experiences I've been having. Yeah. Because there's a lot, I mean, the country is in upheaval and kind of a lot of the world is in upheaval, and it's all been deliberately triggered by the governments of the world to ultimately depopulate us and take our rights away and get a big giant dictatorship going, like the New World Order. But anyway, yeah, people are not as friendly as they used to be at all. And I just like, I guess I already made this point, but I remember being around you and your kids when they were young, and I don't remember people getting pissed in restaurants and stuff.
Well, one of the differences is I purposely tried to take my kids where that kind of behavior wasn't so frowned on. Like I wouldn't have taken them to that temple. Right. I wouldn't. I tried to pay attention to the, you know, like I would take them to a park, right? Well, then they can do that stuff and no one's going to say anything at the park, you know? So I spent a lot of time at the park, or I would try and, you know, well, I didn't really take them too much to the movies when they were little. We took Amber, but we would try and plan it, right? We would like, okay, let's go to the 10 o'clock showing because, and then we would put her like in her pajamas and bring like a pillow and a blanket with the intention that we're going to take our, cause we learned after having four kids, here's a little trick for everyone is don't raise your babies in a quiet house, right? Don't, you see people saying, you know, things like, oh, don't ring the doorbell, don't knock, baby sleeping and stuff. That is wrong. You need to, and you can do it and it will work, is you need, as soon as you have a baby, you need to have the TVs on, the radios on, you need to have the vacuum running, all these things, to the point that they become normal for the baby's sleep and the noise doesn't wake the baby up. So long story short, well, I don't know if you and I can make a long story short, but, but, you know, we raised Amber intentionally. Well, I mean, let's just be honest. Jen, you know, made sure that Amber was, you know, raised in an environment where she could, things didn't like scare her in the night, like someone ringing the doorbell and the dog barking wasn't going to cause the baby to scream, you know, stuff like that. And you do that as a parent, you do that by, you know, as soon as the baby comes home, right, you know you expose them to those sounds and that sort of thing. The TV, you know, you don't say, oh, turn the TV down, the baby's sleeping, right? You don't do any of that. You let them get used to it. And then they don't,
I've never heard this before.
They don't wake up.
Yeah.
So I was taking, we would go to the movies, but we would, you know, go in the evening and, you know, late. So with the idea that Amber would, she'd just fall asleep if she wasn't asleep when we went in and we could watch the movie.
Yeah.
So that's how you get around a lot of that. But we took her to see we went to go see Live Free and Die Hard. I think it was.
How old was she?
Oh, she was little. She was probably like four. And we're like, well, she'll just sleep through it. And that's when she became a true diehard fan because she didn't sleep at all. It was like the 10 o'clock showing and she stayed up for the whole movie. She loved it.
Oh, dude.
So, but she was perfectly good too. She was just like, whoa, this movie's killer.
That's funny. And then your mom, I know I brought it up the other day, said that your first word was Batman because you were in your crib next to the TV and she was always watching the Batman TV show.
yeah, that's what you told me. It's funny to have you tell me that.
Well, you know, you're my bouncing baby boy.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
No, I don't know. I've kind of approached that a little more cautiously. I don't know. Like, one of the first things that happens on my path was there is a spiritual teacher named Teal Swan who has a YouTube channel, and she makes videos on meditation and all kinds of different subjects. And, like, it's really weird. I'm not sure how I got into it all, but, like, many years ago, I just naturally started shifting towards the exploration of spirituality. And she was like one of the first spiritual teachers that I listened to. And like one of the first things I heard her say was, well, yeah, you know, because like if you become a monk or a yogi, they, especially like Buddhist monks, it depends, but there's generally an idea that you shouldn't watch entertainment. You shouldn't do anything that distracts you from God. And so, like, in the strictest Buddhist monks don't watch movies, and they don't watch TV, and they don't read books, because everything is a distraction. And then there's all different degrees of that. But yeah, so there's that idea, like, you shouldn't even be watching a movie if you're on the spiritual path. And then, I don't know, it's like, it's so weird. Like, I've had such a suspension of disbelief, and I've so enjoyed pop forms, like, you know, comic books and action movies and all that. I studied this in film school. I mean, I knew it. Maybe I was just ready to understand it, because, like, Teal came out and she was like, well, so you're distracting yourself with like TV and movies. And she said, but it isn't really a very good lesson for anyone, because all of those stories, all of those movies, all of those TV shows, all of those books, they are all built on conflict. And they are.
Yeah.
They are. But for some reason that, like, hit me, and I was like, she's right. Like, there's no such thing as anything that you watch on TV, including like a love story on TV.
Drama.
That isn't built on conflict. So I've been a little more cautious about.
Well, like, are you calling conflict struggle? Because some of them are built on struggle versus conflict. Right. So, I mean, there's conflict like Rambo, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's struggle where someone is struggling through something. I can't necessarily think of an example, because all we watch are violent action movies. But
but I just watched both the most recent Rambos, by the way, speaking of that.
Did you?
I had seen them both, but they were there, and I was like, oh, I wonder how that looks now. And so, yeah, I'm still watching struggle and conflict.
Yeah.
And combat.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's because there are some stories, and of course, I don't have an example, because we're not scripted or anything like that. So we didn't know we were having this conversation, but, you know, it's struggle. I like struggle movies too, you know, where someone was faced with a challenge. Although I kind of watched, this is a terrible example, but I watched, have you seen The Accountant? With Ben Affleck? So
is it a thriller or something?
It's a struggling conflict. It's about two brothers that are raised by their military dad. And one of them is on the scale, and but it's like he's like a math genius or something. He's like a puzzle guy. Anyway, to make a long story short, it's about him being an accountant for the drug cartels and mafia and all that. But he's also like a badass killer, because his dad was in the military and he didn't want him to not be able to survive in the world. So it's very interesting. He was raised in a very unique way. He was raised to survive and function in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's actually a pretty cool movie. I liked it.
Well, that's good.
It had nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I'm, you know, I don't know how we got there.
As long as we're being obscure, I also watched a movie I had been meaning to watch for years. There's a director named Paul Thomas Anderson, and in my humble opinion, at least a couple of times, he's kind of hit it out of the park with his movies. Like, I think he did a movie, and that was like his big hit, and it was kind of like modern angst movie with following several characters in the valley in LA, I guess in the 90s or something. called Magnolia. Do you remember that movie?
Sounds familiar.
He did a movie that I really liked called There Will Be Blood. Did you ever see that, where Daniel Day-Lewis is like an oil man and he's
just... I don't think I watched it all the way through. I think I've seen clips of that.
Oh, it didn't interest you though.
I don't remember. It does ring a bell in the oil part and stuff, but I don't know. I don't remember. I probably have to watch it again.
Well, he did another movie called The Master, and I guess I'm wrong, although they're censoring the internet and they're changing things. They're rewriting things. They're rewriting history.
Yeah, they just made a new remake to Roadhouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got violence and, you know, it's a bar and stuff, but it's a different story by far, like on the character of the bouncer.
I didn't see the original either, but I assume both have like bar fights, right?
Oh yeah. That's all it's about.
Oh, well, see, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
'Cause I'm a monk.
Squirrel.
Well, and I was gonna say I can always go deep or light with these stories. I'll stay light and be positive, but basically during a time of crisis, my wife and I, when we were still married, we went to a temple. Like, things were going so bad, so we were like, let's go to the temple. And I went to the temple, and it's interesting because, like, Buddhist monks, I think if you go to a Christian priest, he's going to counsel you and listen to what's going on in your life and try to console you. But Buddhist monks don't do that. They're just like, yep, all life is suffering. You know, like, here's what you do. You let that go and you sit down and meditate, and that's it. So, but nobody's going to like baby you at a Buddhist temple. They're all pretty much like, yeah, all life is suffering. The answer is meditation. But
the answer is you're no different or special than the next person. Get over it and get on with life, because it's all about suffering.
Yep. That's pretty much it. And, but yeah, so we went to the Buddhist temple, and, the monks were sitting in there and they were watching like some nature documentary. And it was like, I looked over and the TV was on, and it was like a scene of like an alligator eating a rabbit or something, which is pretty much how my wife and I felt at that time. And I'm like, oh my God, they're watching TV. They're not supposed to watch TV. That's a distraction. But also look at what they're watching on the television. It's like, some of the old ultra violence, you know?
Yeah, but it's true nature too, right?
But I mean, it's true nature. Yeah, and actually I thought that all of a sudden I was like, did they leave that TV on as a way to communicate with me? Because it was that show, which was, you know, is all like survival of the fittest and, you know, get back in the game and, you know, defend what's yours. And I don't know, but yeah.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to go through life without problems, right? We call them seasons, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Life isn't perfect. Life is full of change. You have to, you know, let's talk about high school, right? We love the season of high school. You and I, we, you know, as far as that time, looking back now and making the movies and ditching school and, you know, getting drunk on the mountain and, you know, all the adventures that we had back then, that season was a blast. Right.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next season, you know, and
it also starts sucking 'cause you're an adult, and then it stays sucking until you die.
No, your seasons in life are going to be defined by your son's stages in life, right?
Yeah, it is a season and a stage, and it's a completely different thing. And nothing that has gone before really exists anymore, and I'm absolutely in a radical new season, you know, because of him. It's all about him, happily, you know, but like I totally, everything's for him now, and I'm happy to do my best to do that for him. Like my life is over. I'm just a caretaker now for a new being.
And then guess what, though? Eventually, at some point in time, that season will change and end too. And
both you and my brother have kind of warned me about that, because kids grow up and, you know, they get more and more independent. You're with them less and less, and then they move out, and then it's empty nest syndrome and all that.
Yeah, and it's time for a new season. It's time for, you know, something different. And you know, it isn't good or bad. It's just change happens. You know, people's lives aren't perfect. You know, life is full of conflict and drama, and sometimes we make things worse than they have to be by thinking that the small thing is a big drama, and really you don't see the tidal wave of stuff coming around the corner, you know, that, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that wasn't that big a deal after all. And now I wish I knew how to swim. So,
yeah,
it's life, and you have to recognize it, and recognize that is life, right? That nothing stays the same. There is constant change. Everything is in motion, and enjoy the moments that you have and focus on that, right? Be grateful for what you have today, not worrying about what you don't have tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a series of episodes. And frankly, if you're like, the monk position is to know that it's an illusion, to just try and meet the different seasons with compassion, but kind of be a passenger and just like kick back and let it all happen, because it's going to happen. And then just try to be cool about all of it, you know, but highs and lows and like all that stuff. That's God's plan for you. That's your karmic path. But the best thing to do is just relax and be like what you just said, where you just let it roll.
Just surf the wave, dude.
Just surf the wave. That's it. Yeah. Okay. So I was talking about The Master. So that it was a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, and it's kind of about L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who created Scientology.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it is, so, you know, there's the Sumerian texts and like a bazillion other examples of ancient writings, ancient carvings, and a lot of them say it's aliens. Like aliens they came down to the planet and seeded the planet, and that's us. Or they upgraded monkeys, and that's us. But it's aliens. So for people who don't know, Scientology has been, maybe it still is. I don't seem to hear about it much anymore, but there have been times when it's like the center of the focal point in like all media, and that it's a cult, and that if you join Scientology, they never let you leave. And like, it's got like this bad rap, and then it's very secretive. Like what are they doing at Scientology? Like what are their secret spiritual techniques and stuff?
Mormons are like that too.
Are they?
Yeah, they're very secretive. You can't go into certain things and be a part of certain things.
Huh. Interesting. I don't know what that's all about. But one time, well, first, actually, there's a, you know, if for anybody in the world that's not aware of this, there's a cartoon called South Park that I think has been on for close to 30 years. And it's like this, pretty reliable source of just like brutal, scathing satire of everything. And They did an episode on Scientology where they were skewering it, of course. And they had this animated part where they were like, oh, do you want to know what Scientologists believe? And it was like, and then they did like a little animated thing about what they think is happening. So what, and actually then I looked it up. I was reading some stuff about the movie, The Master. L. Ron Hubbard is the guy who founded Scientology. And Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a character who's basically supposed to be him. But they don't say that. He's like a different guy, but then everything he's doing is very similar to L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. But so the Scientologists believe that there was a galactic federation and with all kinds of aliens in it, like Star Trek. And actually the Galactic Federation, that shows up in a lot of places too. So to decide that that's a real thing, that's actually out there. If you start looking into like alien research and all that, there's a bunch of stuff from like ancient writings or I don't know what, describing a galactic federation. And they say that that's where Gene Roddenberry got the federation from, for Star Trek, because there really is a galactic federation made up of a bunch of aliens and they're probably messing around with us a bit. Some may be deeply involved with our governments, but they're all hiding, you know, like they're doing it under wraps. And but anyway, Scientologists believe that there was a, I forgot what his name was, but basically like a Darth Vader dude who was like the head of the Galactic Federation. And then he decided, like the Avengers movie with Thanos, that, and like what's going on right now, that there were, the universe was overpopulated. And so he was going to depopulate. So he froze all of these like billions of aliens and brought them to Earth and threw them all into a volcano. And so he murdered like billions of aliens on the Earth. And the spirits of those aliens now possess us as human beings. And that's what explains depression, like clinical depression is, it's actually because you're infected with the spirit of a dead alien.
That's Scientology?
That's Scientology. That is, so like, if you go back to the story of creation and like what happened, it's that. They're like this Darth Vader dude in the Galactic Federation murdered billions of aliens here, creating billions of tortured alien souls who get into our bodies and make us miserable.
So we're the haunted planet?
We're the haunted planet, yeah. And then it was interesting in the movie, I didn't know this other part, but basically L. Ron Hubbard in his life, he studied Aleister Crowley, the famous black magician guy, and also all kinds of other like different spiritual texts. And I've heard the story told that he actually made a bet with a friend that he could start a religion, because he started as a science fiction writer. And the story that usually gets told is that he was just joked to a friend, I bet I could start a religion if I want to. And they did. he also read that book, Dianetics. Remember that?
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was his book. And, anyway, but what he's doing in the movie is actually like, it's all that they are. It is a thing that's discussed in spirituality and in psychology. And what it is a past life regression. Have you ever heard of that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So basically in the movie, he's doing past life regressions with people, getting them to like face what they were and then sort of talk it to death, to clear that trauma out of your system. I heard about that movie for years. When it came out, I thought it got a bunch of bad reviews and it wasn't well received. But now on the newly censored and rewritten internet, it says no, it was like a huge success with everyone and they all loved it. But for me, it was satisfying because it gave me a window on, what are they doing at Scientology? one thing is it's that alien story that I told you. And then the other thing is what appears to be past life regressions. So for people who don't know, that's where like you basically go and get hypnotized and you're able to revisit lives that you've lived before. It's all like reincarnation stuff. And then you can dissolve like the karma from those lives by just observing it with compassion. And that supposedly dissolves it. So,
wow. I fix all my problems.
There you go, dude. So that those were our obtuse moments. Mitch suggests that you watch The Accountant with Ben Affleck. And I still haven't decided. I do feel kind of mixed on The Master. Like it wasn't a slam dunk with me, but it definitely was interesting and had some cool stuff in it. So
yeah. And if you just like stupid violence, you can watch Roadhouse, the new one.
It's got
Yeah.
It's got Which one was better, the first Roadhouse or
the first
remake?
One's better with Patrick Swayze. Yeah. This one's kind of a more goofy adaptation. What am I trying to say?
Adaptation.
Yes, that I'm it's the second day in a row where I haven't been able to say that word.
Who needs it?
Yeah, I think it just would be stricken from the English language. but yeah, the original one with Swayze was, you know, a little bit better, but you know, this one's a little bit more goofy. It's got Conor McGregor in it, the MMA fighter, and it's the whole bar, you know, it's all based more on MMA and stuff like that. And he plays a pretty good villain in it. He walks around, you know, naked in the they show him from the back a few times naked. But it's a goofy movie, but it's fun. It's got violence. Things blow up.
So. That's all you need. That's all we monks are looking for in a movie is a bunch of explosions and ultra violence.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of ultra violence, what's going on? Were you able to tell your secret?
No.
Hey, so you said we added a new country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Republic of Moldavia?
Oh, that is funny.
I think it's straight out of a Disney movie called The Princess Diaries or something.
It might be a guy I used to know, although I don't know. But Moldavia is somehow, I think it's kind of a part of Russia. And they all speak Russian there. And it's like, it's basically Russia. But I used to work with this video editor and at a production company in San Diego. And he had run away from Moldavia. He's like Russian guy comes to America to escape like tyranny and also starvation. Well, not starvation, but it was all that stuff like stand in line for bread, you know. And he was Jewish, and so he said like in Moldavia they just, and in Russia if you're Jewish you just get totally persecuted everywhere you go. And like he was circumcised because he's Jewish. So he said he had to go in the bathroom and try and go in a stall, not stand like at an open urinal or whatever, because if anyone saw that you were circumcised, they knew that you were Jewish and they would begin persecuting you.
Oh, wow.
He said it was really bad. But he immigrated to America, and then he was working with me at that production company. We were both video editors there. And he was crazy, but you know, I love crazy people, like the Jack Kerouac quote, the only ones for me are the mad ones. So right. as long as you're an artist, you know, I don't care if you're crazy. Like if, but we, both you and I think we enjoy kind of the mad ones, like the crazy ones, because they're just creative and colorful and more interesting.
Well, it depends on the crazy. There's different kinds of crazy.
There are, including a kind of crazy that we've discussed on the show, which is like, you really are crazy. Like yeah. most people, and you know, there are different degrees again, but most people are crazy, but they have like a part of themselves that's sane.
That it has a grip on reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but a crazy person is someone who has no sanity, no part of them that's sane yeah. that where they can snap out of it and like go back to that.
Yeah.
And we both met people like that who are just, yeah, they're totally gone. Anyway, I was a little sad because while I worked with this fellow at this video production company, he was very brilliant. He was very talented. He was very creative. But he was also eccentric and a little neurotic very argumentative. Like he loved to argue with people about everything. He drove me crazy, but I also, he did. Well, I don't want to go into like the whole deep story, but there were some nasty stuff that happened at work and he drove me crazy. But I don't know, there's always been a part of me that kind of loved him. So we are friends. He contacted me, like, it's been years since we've seen each other or spoken to each other, but kind of out of the blue, he contacted me. I think because he wanted to tell me about, he won an Emmy for editing like a series on symphony music, I think.
Oh, cool. And
yeah, he was good, man. I will say that. He was definitely a great editor and filmmaker. Anyway, he was from Moldavia and we hadn't spoken in a long time, so I just thought I'd send him like one of my little videos and sort of say hi to him. And so I did, and he didn't respond at all. And so actually I've been wondering, is he what happened? Like, is he sick? So I was wondering, like, Andrew lived like a crazy man too, and he expected to have a heart attack in middle age and just die because of the way he lived and what he ate and what he drank and smoking and all that stuff. So he didn't respond. But the fact that Moldavia has added us as a country, like maybe they're some of his relatives there, or maybe it's gotten so bad in America, he went back to Moldavia. Yeah. I don't know.
Or maybe Putin's vacation home is in Moldavia.
Oh yeah, it could be. He's probably, have you checked with Vladimir? Cause he's probably over there.
Yeah. Well, he's not really responding very well. And, you know, still won't tell us what city in Russia is listening to us, but yeah, we got Russia on our list, and now we're slowly infesting the USSR, which doesn't exist anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we're back in the USSR.
Back in the USSR.
Yep, the Beatles predicted it.
On my Facebook friend suggestions, you know, where it's like, here's people you might know. There does seem to be some evidence that some of the faces listed there, they're friends of your friends. But I think it might too be like people who've just looked at your profile. Because like, you might know this person. And then the next day, like, I'll have a friend request from them.
Yeah. Well, like Dan Hank, which is one of our most popular episodes, he just started some new Facebook pages, I guess. Yeah. So he popped up on my feed, right? So I accepted him. And then as soon as I did that, I had all these tattoo artist guys popping up as possible friends.
Okay. That's probably, actually, I forgot why I brought that up, but that's probably the main explanation for it. What were we talking about right before that?
Putin and his vacation house in Moldavia.
Excuse me. I forgot. I don't remember what I was going to say. Sorry.
It's okay. We don't know what we don't know. So we didn't miss a thing.
Yeah. I'm tempted because I could launch from there into all the politics and deep state stuff, but it's probably too late in the show. And actually, we've managed to keep the show light. So maybe we should just let it be that.
Let it be, man. Let it be. See our entire show.
I know why. Because for friend suggestions in Facebook, because you were talking about Paul McCartney, like Paul McCartney popped up there. And I was like, is Paul McCartney looking at my freaking profile? But it's probably not really him. Actually, I've had a bunch of celebrities show up as like, you might know this person. And yeah. Every time you're like, oh, are they surveilling me or something?
No,
like,
they're probably just listening to the podcast and then, you know, not telling anybody.
Yeah, you don't want to admit that you listen to her. That could cause trouble in your life.
So whatever you do, do not admit that you listen to Two Men with a Mic.
So what are you doing today?
Gonna sacrifice the neighbor's kid and then barbecue the neighbor's dog.
Good job.
Yep.
Keep your son out of jail. Keep your daughter off the pole.
Yeah.
Are you going back to church today, or are you still
yeah.
dying?
Oh, yeah, you are. After that comment, I need to, right?
No, I shouldn't have said that. I was just joking.
Oh, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Man, I don't know. I really want to hear the other stuff that you're not allowed to talk about yet. We're going to have a juicy show next week.
Two Men with a Mic is recorded at Clothes on a Hanger Studios.
You can reach them at the number 2menwithamic.com.